Okay, this is Tom Gabriel Warrior, formerly of Hellhammer Celtic Frost, now Trypticon and Triumph of Death, and you're listening to Heavy Demons Radio Show.
So, dear Tom, how are you experiencing this weird sanitary emergency era?
Well, nothing special, just like every other human being, and also like every other musician, I'm stuck at home. Now in Switzerland, the situation is becoming a little more relaxed, but it remains to be seen if this is too early. And as far as our concerts, of course, everything has been cancelled, both Trypticon as well as Triumph of Death. Our concert agency is trying very, very hard, together with the promoters, to reschedule everything. And so far, it looks very good that all the concerts are simply postponed to a year from now, but of course it's a difficult time, both for our audience and for the band.
Let's talk about the Trypticon with the Metropole Orchestra. We've got Requiem. What can you tell us about this adventurous project? It's more than 30 years old, the idea, the concept. And what can you tell us about the genesis, the evolution, and the actual realization, especially of the composition of Grave Eternal?
Well, it's 30 years old, but in a way it also remained a very fresh idea for all of us over the years. Because Martin Ain and I talked about it very often, and we had every intention to finish it with Celtic Frost. So we worked on it on and off, and we talked about it many, many times over the years. And when Martin died, of course, I felt the obligation and the wish to finish it also as a way to pay tribute to him as a form of memorial to him. And when Ropeburn Festival approached me in 2017, shortly after Martin Eric Ain's death, and asked me to put on stage a classical collaboration, metal and classical music, yeah, I suggested to them that we combine the two ideas, that we combine their concept and the Celtic Frost Requiem. And this is basically how the whole thing started. And as for Grave Eternal, I had the rough structure of the piece in my mind for many years. Yeah. Some of it even dates back to the 80s. I always had a rough idea of what the Requiem should be like. But once I had to go ahead from the Ropeburn Festival, I sat down and actually wrote it in earnest, with adding a million details to it, of course.
Requiem means Mass for the Dead. How did you approach this subject, I mean, lyrically speaking as well?
Well, you know as well as I do, the topic of death is not something unusual for a band in our scene. And more than that, Martin, Eric, Ain and I were deeply fascinated by all aspects of the topic of death. Not in an immature manner, but it was just, to us, death was an extension of life. It's such an important topic in history, in occultism, in religion, in philosophy, that it was just a constant topic of conversation between the two of us ever since we met in Hellhammer. Death was always something that fascinated us, and we weren't, to us it wasn't a taboo, we weren't afraid to talk about it. We felt it was a part of every individual's existence. And we were really interested in seeing, for example, how it was approached in earlier centuries, how it influenced religion and so on, how it influenced world history. And of course, the combination of the topic death and our music was very obvious in many songs. And the idea of a death mass, once we became better musicians, the idea of a death mass was very intriguing to us. So we simply decided to try it.
You recorded both the dress rehearsal and the concert of Requiem, I mean. There are many physical formats of the album. What do you think about the physical aspect of music nowadays in this digital era?
I think it has always been very important, but it has become even more important in recent years. When I was a young heavy metal fan, I liked albums where I had the feeling that as a fan I was really receiving something for my money, for example, gatefold albums or albums with a booklet or a poster. So to me, it was always very important that the band paid great attention to the physical format. And of course, nowadays, where the recording industry is completely transformed and is struggling with the reality of streaming and digital releases, I think it has become even more important that you provide the audience with a really extensive package. If somebody decides to spend money on music nowadays, to me that's a gift, and then that person should be rewarded by a beautiful product. I'm a collector and I'm a fan myself, and I like to have a beautiful gatefold album or a beautiful box set in my bookshelf, of course. So I of course approach our own releases like that. Having said that, I often have the feeling it's a bit much nowadays. Mostly it's record companies, because they really know the audience, they really know the market, and they propose we should do this format and that format, and that. They all look really nice, but I think there's also a point when it becomes a bit much. And this is always a topic of discussion between us and Century Media. Of course, I'm happy if somebody buys our albums, but I also don't need to do 10 million different versions of it. I don't know. I'm a bit torn. I'm a bit in the middle of this as a musician on one hand and as a fan on the other hand.
Talking about the visual aspect, what can you tell us about the amazing artwork by Daniele Valeriani?
Well, Daniele is a friend of mine. He's a phenomenal artist. And he has a very unusual style, in that when you see his art, it looks like it's from earlier centuries. He doesn't do contemporary art, at least as far as I know. And I really love his reimagination of ancient art. I was deeply taken by some of his paintings that had occult themes. And I contacted him quite some time ago and proposed to him that he work with Tripticon, and he was very excited about that. And I purchased the rights to the Blood Angel, which is now the cover of the Requiem, even before we knew we were going to do the Requiem. And once we worked on the Requiem, I looked at this painting. Now, I personally felt it was absolutely perfect for what the Requiem represents, the whole atmosphere of the piece. So I talked to the band, and we all decided to use the Blood Angel, and we approached Daniele for a second piece of art that also fits perfectly, which is now the inside of the Gatefold album and also the cover of the art book version. I really worship Daniele, and I think we're going to work together again in the future.
I know it must be very hard to answer, but which are the first positive thing and the first negative thing that come to your mind thinking about the early days with Celtic Frost?
The first positive thing is that it was a very magical time in our scene. Heavy metal had just rejuvenated itself with the power of the new wave of British heavy metal, and it was a very exciting scene. Every time you went to a record store, you discovered albums that truly changed your life. Every time you went to a record store, you were exposed to an album like you never heard it before in your life, and that what made the scene very, very exciting. And it was a privilege to be a musician at the time. The negative thing, of course, would be the relationship between Celtic Frost and the Noise Records. We trusted Noise Records very much, and we thought it was a label full of possibilities. We would have gone to the end of the world with this label, but they chose to be deceptive. They chose to issue really flawed contracts to their bands, and unfortunately, it hurt the label and it hurt the bands. And it's a pity. They lost a lot of good bands, including Celtic Frost. Whereas originally everybody really wanted to work with them. They could have gone really far with all these bands.
While talking about Triumph of Death, the band that resurrected Hellhammer's music, do you think you might record a live gig in the future?
Well, we have recorded several live concerts last year. And later this year, I will look at this material and take the best songs and mix them. And we plan on releasing maybe two or three live EPs with the best of these songs. And we also certainly will record some of our future concerts, definitely.
Which memories can you share with us of Ha'ara Giga? How was he as a person?
Everybody expects him to be this really dark and maybe even sick person, but he was actually a very kind, humorous, and big-hearted person. He was very interesting. He had a very unique personality. He had a very morbid humor, and he was very generous. If he saw that somebody is in need of something, he was a very generous person, a very good-hearted person, actually.
What kind of music are you listening to in your free time, when you're free from Triptychon and the Triumph of Death duties?
Oh, I listen to all kinds of music, from classical music to jazz to 1970s hippie music to gothic to electronic to hard rock and metal. I listen to a very, very wide variety of music. It's probably because extreme metal is what I do with Triptychon, so at home I'm looking for maybe something slightly different.
What do you recall about the heritage, I mean the legacy that Celtic Frostal Hammer left way back in the early 90s in the black metal scene, especially in Norway?
That's a very difficult topic, and it probably takes a book to analyze that. If I simplify it, I can say, of course, I feel very flattered and very honored that my bands Hellhammer and Celtic Frost have been mentioned very often by the black metal scene. It's an absolute honor for a small band out of Switzerland to be mentioned as a one of the inspirations for a new scene. And a lot of that music that came from that scene or comes from that scene is phenomenal. And has changed the heavy metal scene massively. Yeah. On the other hand, there were also some events that took place in Scandinavia in the early 1990s that I personally find extremely unfortunate and that I don't agree with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I find it very difficult to accept that we are quoted as an influence for this scene that has committed these things. It's a difficult topic that would probably take a lot more than that to be described properly.
Do you know or like any Italian band or musician?
Well, of course. I actually, one of the most important influences on early Celtic Frost was Goblin. Which is a band I still adore a lot. I also love Paul Chain, for example, and there's a whole bunch of Italian bands that are phenomenal. But these two bands had quite a dramatic impact on late Hellhammer and early Celtic Frost, for example.
Do you have one message and greeting that you would send out to the Italian fans of Triptychon?
All I can say is that I'm extremely grateful after 39 years as a musician that there's an audience who has been willing to go this path with me and who is still following me and is still listening to my music. It's not something I take for granted, and it makes me feel extremely grateful and honored that this is the case, and I really try to do my best and release interesting music for them as to give them something back. I would be nothing without my audience. I would still be in a wet, stinky rehearsal room like I was many, many years ago without people giving my music a chance.
As the audience, we hope and expect to see you on stage once this sanitary emergency is over.
Well, I hope the very same. The last concert I had in Italy, in Parma, the audience was fantastic, and I definitely would love to repeat that.